Okay, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph by the two dots that say, V'lo magbim trumot umasrot. Our mission tells us that you're not allowed to remove trumot umasrot on Yom Tov. Pshita, we know that already. Tani Rav Yosef, lo nitzrocha, elalitna the kohen bo bayom. Now the chiddush is that even if you're trying to give it to the kohen on that day, and as Rashi points out, then it's not muchacha milta. It's not definitive that you removed it on that day, or that you're being mafrish trumot umasrot, but rather that you're trying to give the kohen what he needs in order to make his yom tov. V'hani milei perei ditfilei metmo. And that's obviously things that were tevel the previous day. And that you're restricted from giving trumot umasrot today because you had the possibility of doing it the previous day. Aval perei ditfilei aidna, something that becomes tevel today, kigon, isa, like dough, meaning that if you need the dough, then you're chayav in challah. That only transpires when you actually need the dough on Yom Tov itself. And we know you're allowed to bake bread on Yom Tov. That means you're going to generate a chiyuv challah on Yom Tov itself. So therefore, you're allowed to lafrushim mina challah. Mefreshinan ve'avinan the kohen. That you're allowed to separate out the challah from it and give it to the kohen. V'hani mishum reshut ika mishum shvut leka. So then the Gemara asks, in our Mishnah, we had a segregation of certain halachot. The first halachot were those of Shvut, then of Rishut, and then of Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, those in the category of Rishut, which were quasi-mitzvot, or lower grade mitzvot, so they have a problem of Rishut, Mishum Shvut Leka, but they don't have a din of Shvut. Shvut means that they have an Isur Derabanan. The entire Mishnah is a list of things that are Isurei Derabanan. So why do you categorize it as an isur of reshut and not an isur of shvut? V'hani mishum mitzvah yika, mishum shvut leka. And the last category in the Mishnah, which were items that were mitzvot, they only have a problem of being a mitzvah. They don't have a problem of shvut. They're also an isur derabanan. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lo mi bayik amar. Our Mishnah is written in a structure of lo zu af zu. Not only is this problematic, but also this is problematic. Lo mi bayi shvut gredita de asur. Okay, you don't have to tell me about a regular shvut. Shvut means the items that were enumerated first in the Mishnah here, that are asur misurei de rabbanan. And as Rashi says, they might not even have a shemetz mitzvah to them. They're items that you can participate in that have nothing to do with the mitzvah. So not only are those restricted on Yom Tov, ela afilu shvut de reshut nami asur. Even these issues, which are somewhat of a mitzvah, they are still asur midrabanan on Yom Tov. And those are the items enumerated in the middle section of the Mishnah. V'lo mi bayishvut dirishut asur, ela afilu shvut de mitzvah, nami asur. And not only is items that are totally reshut, that are things that are quasi-mitzvah restricted on Yom Tov, midrabanan, even things that are completely a mitzvah, their activities are engaging in a mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Chachamim made a restriction, and that restriction stands even in the face of the mitzvah, and then it's still asur. So the Mishnah progresses through the category, saying the first set of, or items or category is very obvious that the Rabbanim could be osir here, because there's no reason to believe that they wouldn't. But even the second category, where there's somewhat of a mitzvah involved in it, they still restricted it. And even in the third category, where there's a full-fledged mitzvah, they still had an Isur Derabanan. And that's the progression of the Mishnah, the nature of the Mishnah. Now, Reminu. Mashilin derech aruba biyom tov, avalo b'shabbat. So now the Gemara goes back to our first Mishnah in the Perek, which is that you're allowed to drop the fruits through the skylight, through the trapdoor on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbat, which indicates there is a differentiation between Yom Tov and Shabbat. And our Mishnah says that whatever is also midrabanan on Shabbat is also midrabanan on Yom Tov. Whatever is also midrabanan on Yom Tov is also midrabanan on Shabbat. So how come the first Mishnah in the Perek says there's a differentiation between Yom Tov and Shabbat? And the Mishnah that we just did, the second Mishnah, says that there is no differentiation between Shabbat and Yom Tov. So Amar Rav Yosef Lokasho. Yosef says it's not a problem. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer, ha, Rabbi Yoshua. It's machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The Tanya. Oto ve'et bino shnaflu lebor. A mother and a child that fell into a cistern. They got into a location from which they cannot escape. Rabbi Lezer Omer Maleta Rishon Amanat Shochato. He takes out the first one in order to shecht it, Vishochato. And then he does shecht it. Vasheni Yoselo Parnasa Bimkomo Kadeshlo Yamut. And the second one you take care of where it is, in its location, in order that it doesn't die. You can't shecht both animals because it's Oto Vet Beno. So you can't do them Biyom Echad. So you can only shecht one of them. So what he says is, okay, get the first one out, and you'll shecht it. You'll use it on Yom Tov, so that's okay. So then it's a ochel nefesh. It's something you need on Yom Tov. The second one, by definition, now you can't shecht. So it's not ochel nefesh. It's not tzorach Yom Tov. So take care of it where it is, in its location. We'll let you take care of it. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Malet HaRishon Amanat HaShochato. He takes out the first one with the intent to shecht it. Ve'inu Shochato. And he doesn't shecht it. And then he goes back and he does a little bit of a backhanded thing and he takes out the second one and Ratzah Zeh Shochet, and then he can decide which one he wants to shecht. So he basically takes out the first one and says, he looks a little skinny to me. Think I want the other one. Takes out the second one and he goes, I don't know. Maybe the first one was better. And then he can decide which one he wants to shecht. But by not shechting it, he allows himself the opportunity to still pull out the second one. What you see is that Rabbi Oshua's mekio on Yom Tov, the Gabe, the Isur of Muksa, and he allows you to take out both animals, Derech Haroma. Whereas Rabbi Lezer says, no, you can only take out one animal. The other animal remains restricted, remains Muksa. So Rabbi Yosef's suggestion is that the first Mishnah in our parak, which says there's a differentiation between Shabbat and Yom Tov, is authored by Rabbi Oshua, who seems to be mekio by Yom Tov. Whereas the Mishnah that we just read, where there's no differentiation between Shabbat and Yom Tov, that's authored by Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Leh Abaye, who's Rabbi Yosef's Talmud, says, Mimai, how do you know the cases are comparable? Dilma Adkan Lukamai Rabbi Eliezer Otam El De'efsher Veparnoso. Over there by the animals, you have an alternative to take care of the second animal. So you don't bring it out. You can feed it in the cistern. You can take care of it. There is an option. Aval Hocha Dolo Efshar Veparnoso. Over here, by the fruits, there's no other option besides putting them inside. You can't just leave them on the roof. That doesn't solve your problem. So over there, he might permit it on Yom Tov as well. So maybe there, look, he would say that you could do it. Inami. Or the other way. That over there, Rabbi Yeshua permits it because you could do the haroma and say, I don't like this one. I'd rather bring up the second one. Over here, what are you going to say? Oh, I only want half the fruits. I don't want all the fruits. Or maybe I want the other half the fruits. That's not a haroma. There's no way to make it any better except to say that it's hefseid mamon and you want them inside. So maybe he would say over here that you can't do it. So you can't necessarily extrapolate from their machloket over there to the machloket over here. So ala amara papa lokasha. That's not a problem. Ha beit shamai, ha beit hilel. The machloket Beit Shemai Beit Hillel, the Tanan. Beit Shemai omrim, in motzim lo et ha-katan, velo et ha-lulav, velo et ha-sefer Torah, the Rishut Rabim. So this is back from Daf Yud Bet. We saw the machloket between Beit Shemai and Beit Hillel with regards to Hotzah. Beit Shemai says you're not allowed to take out a katan, lulav, or sefer Torah into the Rishut Rabim, because those aren't ochel nefesh. So they don't override the mloch of Hotzah. Beit Hillel matirim. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says that it's mutar because mitoch. So they're also over here. That'll be the machloket here as to whether we're mekel in Yom Tov. Because there is a correlation or a connection between muksa and hotza'ah. If you hold there's hotza'ah, if you think there's a problem of hotza'ah, then there'll also be a problem of tiltol, muksa. Because muksa and hotza'ah are connected. Whereas if you believe there's no din of hotza'ah, there should be no din of muksa. So that's how we explain the machloket here. Mar says, Dilma, Lohi, maybe that's not the case. Maybe you cannot extrapolate. Because, ad kan lo kamre beit shemai hotam elo hotza'ah. They're only talking about hotza'ah. Aval tiltul lo. So it says, possibly you could separate and say that beit shemai says that the problem here is a problem of hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is a doraita problem. But tiltul, muktza, drabanon, maybe they don't have. Gemara answers back, how can you separate between the two? Tiltul is an extension of the problem of hotza'ah. This is the sheet of Rashi we saw back on Yud Bet, that the reason for the Isser Muksa, the Isser of Tiltul, is because you might come to do hotza'ah. It's pretty clear here that the Gemara connects between the two, it says that isn't tiltul a subdivision or an extension of hotzah, and if hotzah exists, then tiltul exists, and they're inseparable. So based on that, the Gemara says, no, you can't argue that Beit Shammai, if they hold there's a problem of hotzah, does not hold there's a problem of muksa, because the two are connected. So based on that, the Gemara suggests that the author of the first Mishnah, who allows you to move the payroll down on Yom Tov, is Beit Hillel, who says there's no Itzer Hotza'ah on Yom Tov, according to Rashi, at all. According to Tosafot, it means that Shalom L'Tzarach Yom Tov, there is Hotza'ah, but otherwise, anything that Tzarach Yom Tov does not exist. There's no Itzer Hotza'ah. So because of that, there's also no Itzer Muksa. So therefore, you can move on Yom Tov those items into your house. Whereas over here, our mission that says there's no differentiation between Yom Tov and Shabbat, that'll be according to Beit Shammai, who says that Hotza'ah exists on Yom Tov. The only suspension of Hotza'ah is for Ochel Nefesh. Otherwise, Hotza'ah exists. And if Hotza'ah exists, that means that Tiltul will also exist, that Muksa will exist, and therefore there's no differentiation between Shabbat and Yom Tov. And once again, Rashi says over here that there is an Isur Muksa still on Yom Tov, even though there's no Hotza'ah at all, according to Rashi, still an Isur Muksa, which is Xera Dirabanan, on things like Avanim and other items that are totally useless on Yom Tov. And why they didn't make Gzeira on Kelim and Ochlim is because it's a Gzeira that the Robot Zebra could not hold, because otherwise it would make you very difficult situation on Yom Tov. So therefore they didn't make the Gzeira over there. But they still have a Gzeira by Avanim and other items that are useless on Yom Tov, that they still remain Muksa, despite the fact that there's no Hotza'ah according to Beit Hillel, according to Rashi. And now the next Mishnah. Habehima v'kelim k'raglei habalim. A behema, an animal, and the kelim, the utensils of an individual, have the same tchum, have the same status as the owners. Hamoser b'emto livno odoro'eh, someone who gives over his animal to his son or to his shepherd, hare elu k'raglei habalim. They remain within the tchum of the balim. So the son or the ro'eh can only take the animal as far as the owner himself could go. Because here he's giving over to someone else, we'll see in the Gemara that there's a braita that suggests otherwise, and we'll see why that you would think differently. Kelim amyuchadim le'echad min ha'achim. You have a number of brothers who inherited an estate, or they live together. If the utensils or the items belong to one specific brother in the house, shebabayit, hare elu k'raglav, then those items have his tchum, they follow his tchum. She'em miyuchadim, items that they all share, or that are joint property of the brothers, hare'ilu makom she'ochim. Makom she'ochim is as if it says, makom she'ochim kulam. It's the overlap between the tchum of all the brothers. So it can only go where every one of the brothers can go. That means if one brother has an eruv to one direction, the other brother has an eruv to the other direction, then only the overlap between those two brothers is where the object can be carried. Since each one of them has a piece of it, then it's limited to the joint ownership of all the parties. Ashuel kli mechaveiro me'erev yom tov. A person who borrows a utensil on erev yom tov, kiraglei ashuel, they become like the shuel. Since the shuel held them, benash mashot, then the object takes on the properties of the shuel, the tchum of the shuel, the borrower. Be yom tov, if he borrows it on yom tov, then it's kiraglei hamash'il. Then it's like the lender's property, because benash mashot, it was together with the lender, and therefore it garners the tchum of the lender and not the borrower. Chena isha shishala michaverta tvelin umayim umelach lisata. A woman who borrows spices, water, salt for her bread, harielu karagle shtehen, then it has a limitation of the two parties. One woman contributed the flour, the other woman contributed the other ingredients. When you put them together to make them into bread, you have, in a sense, joint ownership of the bread. Whether they jointly own it or not, it's not really relevant. It's the fact that the ingredients that are contained within this bread have different tchumim, and therefore you're going to be limited to the overlap between the two tchumim. Yehuda poter b'mayim b'pnei she'im b'en mamash. But the water is poter because the water is not visible in the bread. The water evaporates in the bread, and therefore it's no longer discernible in the bread. Since it's not discernible anymore, that doesn't have an impact on the bread. Now you can ask that by the salt also, and the Gemara will talk about that these are large pieces of salt that still remain, and the spices are visible. Only things that are visible would you have this din, but things that are not visible you would not. Matzitzin tilok Rabbi Dosa. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Dosa. Titanio, we have a braita in which Rabbi Dosa appears. Rabbi Dosa Omer, V'amila Abba Shaul Omer, some say that it was Abba Shaul, Halukeach Be'ma Michaviro Me'erev Yom Tov, person who purchases an animal from his friend on Erev Yom Tov, Afu Pi Shalom Masralo Elo B'Yom Tov, even though he didn't give it over to him until Yom Tov, Harihi Keragle Halukeach, it has a din of the buyer. So the buyer purchases it on Erev Yom Tov, and even though he doesn't get possession of it until Yom Tov itself, he still is the governing factor in the tchum of this animal. But Moser behemado ro'eh, alfa pish lo masro lo elo b'yom tov, someone who gives over an animal to a ro'eh, even though he only gave it over to him on Yom Tov, ari k'ragle ro'eh. It's like the din of the ro'eh himself, assuming that he intended to give it over to the ro'eh prior to Yom Tov, then on Yom Tov it has the din or the tchum of the ro'eh himself. So what we see here is that when you give over an animal to a ro'eh on Yom Tov, it's like the raglei ha-ro'eh. Our Mishnah says that when you give over the animal to the ro'eh, it has a din of the ba'alim. So that's why the Gemara is saying that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa over here says it goes, animal goes and becomes like the animal of the ro'eh. Whereas our Mishnah says it only is the animal of the ba'alim. When it says, "Afidu teima Rabbi Dosa," our Mishnah could even be Rabbi Dosa of Lokasha. Kan v'roe echad, kan b'shnei ro'im. Depends how many ro'im there are in the city, how many shepherds there are in the city. The case of Rabbi Dosa is when there's only one shepherd in the city. Therefore, you don't really have a choice. Since you don't have a choice, the only place that it's going is to this ro'eh. So already on Erev Yom Tov, it's already determined that the animal is going to end up with this shepherd because he doesn't have any other alternative. And all the people of the city give their animals to this ro'eh, so certainly he's going to give it to the ro'eh. Our Mishnah is a case where there are multiple ro'im in the city. Multiple ro'im means that you have options. And since you have options over here, then it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that it's going to either one of these ro'im. And because of that, it remains like the status of the ba'alim and not like the ro'im. Dekanami, you can see that from our Mishnah, Diktoni. In our Mishnah it says, Libno Odoroe Shmamina. Our Mishnah says that he has options. Now true, the options there are his son and the Roeh, but it's not obvious where the animal's going. Since it's not obvious where the animal's going, we assume that the animal stays with the Balim or has the status of the Balim. In the case of the Braita by Rabbi Dosa, where there's only one Roeh, it's obvious where the animal's going, in that instance we don't say that it's like the Balim, we say rather it's like the Roeh. The animal takes on the properties of the Roeh. Rashi has an interesting comment here, which he says that, well, it's a case of a transaction. And in the transaction, the buyer and the seller are both going to give it to the same ro'eh. So it doesn't matter, in the case of Rabbi Dosa, it doesn't matter when the buyer or the seller gave it to the ro'eh, because if the buyer has it, it'll be with this shepherd, and if the seller has it, it'll be with this shepherd, because there's only one shepherd in the city. The issue is that in our braita that we quoted from Rabbi Dosa, there are two cases. There's a case of buying and selling. It's a case of ro'eh, of a shepherd. Rashi seems to think that there's only one case in that situation of Rabbi Dosa, the bride of Rabbi Dosa, and it must have been that he had a different girsa in the Gemara. It's true that the Rosh actually has a different girsa in the Gemara and combines the two cases. It's a case where you're buying and selling, and the question is, does it have the animal have the status of the buyer, the seller, or the ro'eh? And the answer is the ro'eh, because both the buyer and the seller would have given it to the ro'eh either way. So the exchange of property happens, but the animal can remain with the ro'eh, because that's where it's going to end up anyway. Because our Mishnah has multiple options, and therefore it's not foregone conclusion that it's going to this ro'eh. Even if you bought and sold it, or even if you gave it over to the ro'eh, you're not sure which ro'eh it's going to. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan Locha Ki Rabbi Dosa. The Locha is like Rabbi Dosa. Omi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hoche. Can Rabbi Yochanan really say the Locha is like Rabbi Dosa? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Locha Ki Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan believes that Allah is always like a Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. And we just said that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Dosa. It's not a Beima Bekilim Kiragle Abalim. And that's against the position of Rabbi Dosa. So, Velavo Kimna, Kan Baro Echad, Kan Baro Shnei Ruim. You can have the same solution that we just gave before to reconcile between Rabbi Dosa and our Mishnah. You can say for the Halachot of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says Allah is like Rabbi Dosa, and that's not necessarily in contradiction to our Mishnah. You can also say the loch is like our Mishnah, because there are two different cases. Our Mishnah is talking about Shnei Ro'im, and Rabbi Dosa is talking about one Ro'eh. And Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying the loch is like both of them. The loch is like Rabbi Dosa by one Ro'eh, and the loch is like our Mishnah by two Ro'im. Tana Banan. Shnaim Sheshalu Chaluk Echad B'Shutafut. Two people borrow a utensil or a beged, something that they're going to wear, they jointly borrow it. One of them is going to wear it in the morning to go to the Beit Midrash to learn or to daven. One of them borrowed it for nighttime in order to wear it to the meal on Yom Tov. Ze yirev alav litzafon, ze yirev alav lidarom. So one of them made an eruv to the north, and the other one made an eruv to the south. So this is what you mentioned by the Mishnah. Ze shirev alav litzafon, malech litzafon, kraglei mishirev alav lidarom. The person who made the eruv to the northern side can only go as far as the person who made the eruv to the southern side can go. Basically, it's like a Venn diagram. It's the overlap between the two tchumim is the extent to which you can go. And therefore, the one who has the eruv to the darom can go as far as the one who's going to the south. So, for instance, if he put his eruv 1,000 amot to the north, and the other individual put his eruv out 1,000 to the south, that means that that's exactly how far you can go to the north or to the south, because once you've reached your eruv, that is 1,000 amot to the north, that's as far as the person on the south can go, because his eruv is 1,000 to the south. That means that 2,000 amot to the north from where his eruv is as far as he can go, which means from where you are presently, that's only 1,000 amot. The overlap between them will be 1,000 amot in each direction, and that's as far as you can go to the north or the south. Whereas, if they divided it evenly, you can't move it. So for instance, if one of them put their eruv 2,000 amot to the north, the other one put it 2,000 amot to the south, then you can't move the utensil or the beged because they're limited by each other. So the Gemara in Eruvin called Chamar v'Gamal, that they're pulling in different directions at the same time. And since they are pulling in different directions and there's no overlap between them, you can't move the object because of their joint ownership. Itmar, shnayim shalachu chavit ubeima b'shutafut. Two people purchased a barrel or a jug of something together and an animal together. Rav amar chavit muteret. The chavit you can utilize. Beima asura. And the animal is problematic. Shmuel amar chavit nami asura. And the Shmuel says the barrel or the jug is also problematic. Maika savar Rav. What does Rav hold? If he thinks that there is breira, then even the animal should be fine. If he thinks there is no breira, then even the chavit should be problematic. So the olam kasaver, he really holds yesh breira, there is breira here. Behema is different because the two tchumim draw from each other. So now, the machloket here between Rav and Shmuel is, once I bought something b'shutafut, then we divide it up. So we bought an animal b'shutafut, and we shecht it, and we divide up the animal. We bought a chavit b'shutafut, now we divide it up, and each of us gets half of the contents of the chavit. Problem is that we have different tchumim. Each individual has its own tchum. So now, when I split up the items with you, did I get what belonged to me originally? And therefore, on Ben Shmashot, that part that belonged to me came to me, and that was always the part that was in my tchum. Or, do we say there's no breira, and therefore whatever I got could be his part, could be my part. That means that I might have a mixture of parts here, and I can only take what I got as far as he can go, or the overlap between the two of us. So that's the question. When we divided up, did I really get what belonged to me, and therefore my tchum governs? Or did I get part of what belongs to me, part of what belongs to him? And therefore, we'd have to only the overlap between our two tchumim would I be allowed to move it. So Shmuel says, ain breira, no breira. Therefore, it's a surah. I mean, you can only move it as far as the two tchumim, which is the chavit and the behemar, both asurim because of that. On the other hand, the Rav says the chavit, you can take wherever you want because there's breira. Well, if there's breira, why can't you say the same thing by the animal? When you shech the animal, when you split it up, then it's also breira. He says, no, because they draw nutrition, they draw sustenance from each other. Which means that every Eiver is dependent on the other Eivarim when it's alive. When it's alive, they all interact. Since they interact, even if you say there's Breira, there's still a connection between the different parts of the animal. And when you shech the animal and you divide it up, doesn't mean that you can really divide it evenly because whatever Aver he gets drew sustenance or is connected to the Averim that went the other way. And so therefore you cannot clearly define ownership in the Behemah because of this overlapping. So Amri Le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, the Rav, the Yisur Muksa Lo Chashashu, the Yisur Tchumim Chashashu, says, wait, you're worried about Tchum, but you don't worry about Muksa? Shotik Rav, and Rav was silent about that, meaning that they made a good point, which is not only do you have a problem of Tchum, you have a problem of Muksa, which is the animal was alive, Benesh Mashot, and now you're shechting the animal. So, and if that's the case, then what are you suggesting to me? We are Anan Sade, the Chol Chai Minayu, Akse Date Michelko Shukhaveiro. Rashi says that Benesh Mashot, if you're saying there's Breira, then I believe I'm going to get my half of the animal. You believe you're going to get your half of the animal. And as far as the other half, you say I have nothing to do with that. That's not mine. It's out of my world because I don't get that half. So basically you're Mikatsa half the animal and you took half the animal. So now if you tell me that by Tchumin, when half the animal belongs in this Tchum and half the animal belongs in that Tchum, you can't separate it because they draw sustenance from each other, you could say the same thing about Muksa. The fact that I didn't think I was getting that half, and I was getting the other half of the animal, then the two sides also drew from each other, and Muksa was overlapping. So they say to him, listen, what you're talking about Tchumin? You can't use it because the whole thing's really muksa for you, even though only half of it did you have in mind not to be in your world. Nevertheless, because they overlap or they draw from each other, then it's as if the whole thing's muksa. That's the way Rashi describes it. And that's what they're querying or posing the question to Rav is, you're worried about tchumim, muksa has that same impact on the animal. Now, Rashi is interesting because, what does that mean? It means that if I have an animal and I split it in half, I say my half I keep, the other half is muksa. But why is it muksa for me? Even if you take the other half, you can still give me a gift on Yom Tov. I can still eat with you on Yom Tov. So why should it be muksa in your mind? So because of that, Tosafot rejects Rashi's understanding and says, I don't understand. That can't be the way that it's divided. So he says, he brings a perush from the Rashbam that says that the Isur Muksa Shebeima Gadla Omosifa Shamnunit Yom Tov. He says that the Isur Muksa, this being read here, is the additional growth of the animal on Yom Tov. The animal continues to grow even through Yom Tov. As it grows through Yom Tov, right, it's a minuscule amount, but it's an indiscernible, and we don't know where it is. And it's mixed in here. It's a Dover Sheish Lo Matirim, so we're not going to allow it to become Batel. Since it's a Dover Sheish Lo Matirim, it's not Batel, then you have Muksa mixed in here, and it ruins the whole animal for you. That additional growth that happens, that growth is problematic, is a problem of Muksa, and then when you divide it up, that is what the problem is, according to the Rashbam. Right, for the Rashbam, who says that the problem here is the extra growth, then, as you're pointing out, then on any Yom Tov, any growth on the animal should also cause problems. So the other Rishonim try to give different answers here for the Muksa. They don't accept the Rashbam, they don't accept Rashi. They come up with alternative answers to the problem, but it's a serious problem here, because what is the Muksa that they are speaking about over here? All right, so now, my Havi Aloch. What's the Psak Alocha here? What's the Alocha? We have a Machloket Rav and Shmuel, what's Alocha? So Rabbi Shaya Amar Yesh Breira. Rabbi Shaya says there is Breira. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Breira. It says Rishava Rabbi Shaya Sheish Breira. Shaya really believes in Breira. Vatanan. Don't we have a Mishnah? Amid Babayit Velo Ptachim Harbe. We had this earlier in the Masechta. We have a maid in the house and it has many different possibilities of exiting. Kulan Tameim. All of them are Tamei, meaning that there's Alacha Moshe Mitzinai that even though they're not inside the house with the maid, the door frames are tamei, or anything under the door frames will become tamei. Niftach echad mehem, one of them was opened up, hu tamei v'kulan tehorim. Then that one is tamei, and all the others are tehorim. Chishev lotzio bechad mehem, o bechalon sheish bar ba'al arba'at tfachim. If he says, thinks about taking out one of the doors, or any of the windows that are 4x4 tfachim, matzelet ab tachim kulan. That saves all the other doorways, because now you've determined which way is the exit. Beit Shammai omrim, v'chu shichishev alav ad shelo yamut ha-meit. Beit Shammai says it's only if he thought about it beforehand. Before the mate dies, he had that consideration, and therefore there's no breira issue over here, because you knew ahead of time that's where it's going to go, and from the moment he died, that was your intent. Beit Shammai af kishimot ha-meit. Even after the mate dies, if you make that decision, it has an impact. V'it marala. And on that, we have a statement from Rabbi Oshaya. I'm Rabbi Oshaya. The Tayaret HaPtachim Mikanon Lo Ba. That's only prospectively. that when Beit Hillel says that you can impact the doorways even after the maid dies, that's only prospective impact. That doesn't say l'mafrei retroactively we say that this is the door you chose and the other doors are fine. We just say from now on, the door that you chose is tamei and everything else is tahor. Beit Shammai argues on that and says, no, once the tumah hits the doorways, you can't remove it. So you have to make the determination before the maid dies. Once the tumah is there, you can't remove it. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says you can remove it. Once you decide which doorway you're going out of, that terminates the tumah for the other doorways, and this doorway will have tumah. But it doesn't say retroactively that there's breira. What you see from this is that Rabbi Shaya believes that there is no breira, there is no l'mafreya. It's only prospectively that it has impact your decision. So the Gemara says, mikana l'ba'in l'mafreya lo. You see that only prospectively does he think there is tumah, but not retroactively. So Gemara says, epuch. Flip their positions. Rabbi Shaya amar ein breira. Rabbi Shaya says there is no breira. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh breira. And Rabbi Yochanan says there is breira. So, itay the Rabbi Yochanan breira. Now we have the same problem. You think Rabbi Yochanan has breira? V'amar Rabasi, am Rabbi Yochanan, achim shechalku, achim that divide up an estate that they inherited, the kuchotain. They are considered to be buyers and not inheritors. Umachzirin zele zebe yovel. And therefore, they have to return the property and redivide it every yovel. Since when they split the property, we're not certain that they each got the piece that belonged to them. They're considered to be buyers because they basically bartered the exchange between the two pieces of property that they had. It says, so what do you want to suggest? Rabbi Yochanan says, no breira by Doraita, by Torah things. But by rabbinic issues, he thinks there is breira. So over there, by the case of Yerusha, there is no breira because that's a din Doraita. Yovel, Yerusha are din Doraita. Therefore, it's still no breira. We're not going to let that be the determining factor. Over here, by Yom Tov, where just determining whose ownership it is in the partnership, that's a din derabanan. We're dealing with tchumin, we're dealing with muksa, which are all dinim derabanan. Maybe over there he says there's breira. So when it says, it'll be derabanan me, like, even dinay derabanan, does Rabbi Yochanan really think there's breira? Va'atani. Don't we have a mishnah, which is atani ayo. Ayo, who's a chacham, tells us, a person can't make a tznai on two tchumin or two eruvin at the same time. He said, if the chacham comes to the east, his eruv in the east works. The marav, eruvo the marav. In the west, it's the west. The ilu, right? The ilu, the khan, or the khan. He says, in both directions, whoa, it doesn't work. So, as you're pointing out, what's the difference? Why, when he says in both directions it doesn't work, the ain breira? Mizrach umarav nami ain breira. When you put on the east or the west, you have the same thing. Why, if you say I can choose later, it doesn't work. But if he says, listen, if he comes to the east, I get the east. If he comes to the west, I get the west. That's the same thing, just that one is where you are in control, and one is in where you're not in control, which has impact. And then from that, Tosafot brings a conclusion here that Rabbi Yochanan does not differentiate between dat atzmo, tole bedat atzmo versus tole bedat achirim, which Tosafot, back in the Gemara in Sukkah, as well as in Yoma, when he talks about Breira,
not the first time.
Right, we bumped into this, he says that in all those cases, that there is a difference between whether you're in control or someone else is in control. And therefore he makes the comment that Shmuel, over here, says there's no Breira. But he says, but we find by Shmuel, by other cases, there is Breira. It says, what you have to say is, Hainu dafka tole b'data chirim. Tole b'data smoke, yocha let le breira. When you're tole in other people, then there is breira. But when you're tole b'data smoke, when you're in control, there is no breira. And he makes such a distinction. Because when you're in your control, then you could have made the decision up front, and you didn't relinquish control at that time. You held on to control, and we say no breira. Then, when you're tole b'data chirim, you relinquish control at that moment. You said it all has to do with the other people. Since you relinquished control, then we can say retroactively that really was your decision. Because your decision point ended at that moment. And therefore we can say the mafreya. It's clear from Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see in a second, that this case over here is talking about a case where there is no difference between data tzmo and data chayrim. So in one case, he keeps control of it and says, I'll pick where I want to go. The other case, he says, wherever the chacham comes, if it comes to the east or the west, I'll go there. So that's all about that tachirim, yet here the Gemara is saying there's no distinction. From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explains to us the answer, which is, Ukvar b'chacham. The chacham was already there, ben hashmashot. So the decision point was before ben hashmashot. So in the case where you hold on and say, I'll decide tomorrow which way I want to go, then you're invoking breira. Breira doesn't work. On the other hand, when he said, I'm going to go to the east or the west, depending where the Chacham came, the Chacham was already there on Ben Hashmashot when Shabbat entered. So your Eruv took effect. Now, on Shabbat, when you find out the information, it's just a Gilui Milta. You're just clarifying what had already happened. It's not that you're trying to retroactively have something happen. It happened. Now you're just finding out what did happen. So that's why it's allowed. So he makes that distinction. Aval, Amma, lately, the Rabbi Yochanan Breira. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yochanan believes that there is no Breira. And that's why he, in explaining that Breita that we just brought from Ayo, that brings Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that when you say, I'm going to decide later on which way to go, it doesn't work. Because Rabbi Yochanan has explained to us that it's not Breira in that case, and that's why it works in the case of Mizrachim Arav, because it was a decision point that happened before Shabbat. So Ella, the Olam Lo Tipoch. So you can't flip their positions. So now we're back to square one, which is Rabbi Yochanan says no Breira. And we see we have examples of Rabbi Yochanan saying no Breira in the Rabbanon. We have examples of Rabbi Yochanan saying no Breira Deoraita. So Rabbi Yochanan across the board says no Breira. What about Rabbi Shaya? Now we have a problem. Rabbi Shaya over here says Yesh Breira. And yet we found in the case of Tumat HaMeit that he says no Breira. So how do we reconcile that? So my answer is that's not a problem. V'chi lately the Rabbi Yochanan Breira is Bidoraita. When you're talking about Tumat HaMeit, over there he says no Breira, because that's Dindo right of Abdirabonon. In the case here of Yom Tov, where you're doing Muksor Tchumim, Itle Breira. There he has Breira. So the distinction that we tried to make in Rabbi Yochanan Shita will actually be the difference in Rabbi Oshaya's position, which is there'll be a difference between Torah level, things where we say no Breira, and the rabbinic level, things where we say there is Breira. Darash Marzutra, Halocha to Rabbi Oshaya. The halacha is like Rabbi Shaya, that there is Breira in this case. Amar Shmuel, Shor Shel Patam, a shore of a person who fattens up animals and then sells them off. Harihu Karaglei Kol Adam. Then whoever buys it from him, they get the tchum. So that is a quasi Breira. Basically, based on whoever buys it, they get the ownership, and then it's retroactively, we clarify that they were the owner Ben Hashmashol. Because this person intends to sell the animal, no matter what. Who he sells it to, he doesn't know yet. And anybody who can reach him, he would sell it to. It's not only people in the Tchum, even people from outside the Tchum, people that he didn't know about outside of his city. Anybody, he's a seller that affects, will sell to anybody. He doesn't have a specific area in mind. And therefore, whoever buys it can take it to the Tchum. Shor Shoruet, on the other hand, you have an animal of a shepherd. Harihu Karagle Otoayir. Then he is like the people of the city. I mean, the animal has the din of the people of the city or wherever the Eruv had you, but then Shvita in the city, where would it go? Because for the Roeh, his customers are in the city, in that specific city. He doesn't expect or he doesn't have customers in other cities. He has customers in this city. Therefore, he knows someone from this city is going to buy it from him. So the intent is, therefore, that the animal has the tchum of that city because it's going to be someone from that city that buys it. If it's someone else, then you can't change the tchum because the tchum belongs to that city because that's what he intended coming into Yom Tov. They're going to use a standard person in the city because we're going to assume he's going to sell to someone in the city, not someone who has an Eruv like that. It's not where it's joint ownership of all the parties in the city. It's just that we think the default is to someone in the city and therefore it'll have an Eruv like the individuals of the city, assuming that they have the default Eruv. It might be possible that if he sells it to someone in the city who made an Eruv, that it'd be like him because he was in the city, but it's unlikely. I think it's what they're saying here is that it'll be like a standard person who took Shvita in the city because that's who he intended to sell it to. Shorshul Patam, who sells it to anybody, then whoever takes it will be their tchum. Over here, he has in mind specific groups of individuals, and therefore it takes on the tchum of those individuals. Okay, we'll stop over here.